radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. We want to thank you for making the Refresh radio program a part of your day. And I'm just so thankful for all of the encouragement that we received over the holidays, people that we ran into and people from our congregation that told us stories about people that they run into, that they listen to this program. And I'm so thankful that this word is a word of encouragement to you, and it's something that, you know, it's not something you have to do. It's something that you get to do and you choose to do. And for that, we are very, very thankful and pray that today's broadcast will be a blessing to you as well. So I do want to invite you out to our revival services this Sunday, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30. We have a friend of mine that is going to be in town ministering. He's a full-time evangelist, his missionary evangelist. His name is Mark Perkey. And he and I grew up not far from one another, but didn't know one another until we ended up at Bible college. And he's achieved events quicker in his life than I accomplished in mine. And really look forward to having him with us and looking forward to what God is going to do. So we would love to invite you out. Consider this your personal invitation to come and join us at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. That's Merritt Assembly of God, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30. And we also want to say thank you for help to make this broadcast possible today at the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you have electrical issues that you discovered over the holidays, now that the trees packed away and, you know, you're starting to put your house back in order again, and you don't have to worry about buying presents for this person or that person, and you say, you know what, now would be a really good time to take care of either my AC, my heater, or electrical issues, you can take care of all of that with one phone call to Wyrick Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. The phone number is 321-632-9538. They're based in Rockledge, Florida, and they travel all throughout the county, them and their team. They're a blessing to the body of Christ. They're very active in ministry as well, and so been doing this type of work for decades and decades and decades. So I encourage you to give them a call, and they will come out and get you taken care of in a professional and efficient manner, and you will be back up and running. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. One of the things that I do know, because I interact with all of these people, is many times you might think that it's going to be a long wait, and during this time of the year, many times the wait time is just a matter of hours, not days. So give them a call, 321-632-9538. Today we're going to return to Acts chapter 20. I'll read verses 32 through 35. We've already covered verse 32 on yesterday's program, but we'll go on and finish this thought, because we're looking at what is the conclusion. How do we get beyond this tendency that our flesh has of coveting, a setting of our heart on things that either A, belong to someone else, or B, are not intended for us, or C, is not the right time for us? How do we get our heart into the right place? And it is not always just having a different desire, sometimes it involves practical steps as well. You see, if we are coveting, that heart attitude that we have is going to manifest in negative actions. If we have the godly desire that we're supposed to have, then that is also going to manifest itself in behavior and conduct that is going to impact not only ourselves, but others as well. So let's look at verse number 32, Acts chapter 20. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So if you want to hear more about what we said about that passage, go back to the WMIEFM.com website, scroll down to the bottom of the page to the Listen on Demand, and click the past 2 days, and you can find, I think primarily that was yesterday's, but you can listen to the day before too. It won't hurt you at all. Won't cost you an extra penny even. Verse number 33. By the way, this program is free, so if you ever hear something that you don't like, it's a double your money back opportunity. So, da-da-bum-bum. Stupid dad jokes for the lose. Verse number 33. I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So let's look at what Paul has to say. He talks about, you know, before he commended you to God and to the word of his grace, build you up, give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified, who are set apart for a holy purpose. And he says this, I have been determined and been very intentional about not coveting anyone's silver. Again, that's something that belongs to someone else, or gold or apparel. Now, you have to realize that Paul was not saying that I got no desire for financial resource in my life. That's not what he is saying, because if you read his letters that he writes to the other churches, you will find that he talks in there about coming and receiving an offering for the saints who are in need back in Jerusalem. And he says, I want to give you ample opportunity to prepare so that when I come with these other brethren that I've bragged about you to, that I will not be disappointed. I want you to be able to give and to give cheerfully. So it wasn't about the not having financial resource. Some people think that there is a lot of merit in being impoverished. I've found that it is extremely challenging to be that way. When I did not have much money, I loved Jesus with all my heart. When I have had more resources, I still love Jesus with all my heart. My contentment doesn't come from my bank account, whether it's in abundance or whether it's in lack. My contentment comes from my relationship with Jesus. And so he says, it's not about the silver or the gold. He said, I have not coveted anyone's. I have coveted no one's silver or gold. In other words, he said, I did not look at people as a means to my financial success. I looked at them as the recipients of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I looked at them as brothers and sisters in Christ. I looked at them as joint heirs, not as victims, but as partners that I could go and be of benefit to them. So you will see here a number of things that, if Paul mentions them, and he mentions them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I believe that those were probably some things that came up from time to time. And he says, I refused to do that. It wasn't just about the finance, but sometimes it could be about the clothing. If you remember, John the Baptist had a very distinct wardrobe. You know, he basically didn't dress the same way that everybody else did. He was more of a rugged individual, kind of camel skin, yippee skippy. You know, I remember the first time I went through a winter season, and I saw that the department store that I worked in was selling camel's hair sports coats. The first person I thought of was John the Baptist, and it's like, yes, John would be in style right now. But Jesus said, "Did you go out into the wilderness to hear about John and hear about the fancy clothes that he was wearing?" He said, "No, that's not what you went out there for." If you remember back when Joshua took the people into Jericho, Achan, we talked about this earlier, he coveted not just a wedge of gold, I believe it was, but he also saw a Babylonian garment in there. And none of the stores out in the wilderness had sold anything like that. And it said that he coveted that. Here it talks about, Paul said, "I made sure that I didn't covet anyone's clothing, their apparel, whatever outfit they wore." He said it didn't matter to me. You know, if we are not careful, we can get into label envy or, you know, clothing envy, and we start comparing ourselves with other people, which the Bible tells us is not something that is we're encouraged to do. We're not supposed to compare ourselves against one another. We're supposed to compare ourselves against Jesus and what he has called us to do. So I would say that probably a couple of other things that we would find temptation to covet. We might covet someone else's job. And Paul said, he could say this. He doesn't say it here in these exact terms, but he could say, I didn't want someone else's job. In fact, he went on to say that he longed to preach the gospel in a place where the gospel had not been preached. He didn't want to build upon another man's foundation. He wanted to go and do the hard work himself. So you don't have to covet someone else's job. You just trust God for the job that he's got. And if you do that job with excellence, you're not going to serve in obscurity. It could be an automobile, you know, transportation. I'm the type of person that since I turned 16 years old, I've never went out and bought a car that said, this is the car that I want, and I'm going to just go out and buy it. What has happened in our life, and to a large extent, we served in places that didn't really provide much in the way of financial resource, but God had a way of providing vehicles for us, miraculously. You know, there'd be vehicles that were either given to us, or I paid $50 for a vehicle one time that I thought was just going to be a car that my wife could drive back and forth, because I was working 81 or 63 miles away from home at that point in time. And it was quite a drive. And so we lived out in the country, and she had about a 4-mile commute out in the country. So I thought, well, surely this $50 vehicle will get us there. I took it home. I changed the oil, and the engine knock that was in there completely and totally disappeared. And we ended up driving that car for thousands and thousands of miles. It was a great little vehicle. But the reason that I know that I changed after 16 is when I turned 16, I was awakened that morning to find that there was a car in the driveway that had a big sign on it that said, "Happy birthday to me." And I had paid for about half of that car. I didn't know it because I didn't know I had that money. my parents had set aside some money that had been given to me that I didn't know anything at all about. And my dad said this, you know, you talked about wanting a car. It was a Ford Mustang II. It was a car that was featured on Charlie's Angels. And I thought that was just the coolest looking car. And I talked about it all of the time. And my dad said, you know, I almost didn't give you this car because you talked about that car so much that you almost didn't get a car, period. And so I have said, you know what, God, you know what I have need of before I ever ask. And the one thing that I've never needed was a car payment. And so I'm very thankful whenever God gives me provision. And I got no problem holding on to them. I got no problem letting them go. Those things don't own me. They are tools that God has brought into our lives so that we can use them for his glory. It's not that we're coveting them. They're just simply a tool. The other thing that you could say is I have coveted no one's house. I'm very thankful for what God provides. And very thankful for the house that we've got and the fact that it is a tool for ministry. So, you know, Paul mentions three specific things, and he says, I've not coveted any of these things. But in actuality, coveting had no place in his life at all. There were no ungodly desires. And he said, instead of longing for what belongs to someone else, he said, you yourselves know that these hands, his hands, have provided for my necessities. In other words, he said, I not only know how to preach, I also know how to work. I not only know how to preach, I also know how to work. Paul was a tent maker. You know, if we would, you know, put that in some modern terms, he was in the home construction business, if you will. Now he might not have built some of the more permanent types home, but he made shelter possible for people who were in very difficult circumstances. And, you know, now we go to the department store, the sporting goods store, and if we were to buy a tent, it's not made the same way that it was made back in those days. Now it's made out of nylon fabric and waterproofing and all of that sort of stuff. But a tent maker would have to take the hide of an animal. They would have to work that. They would have to fashion it. They would have to sew it together. There were a lot of different processes in that. You know, when it talks about, you know, our children are like arrows and having a full quiver, it wasn't like going down to Arrows R Us and picking out, you know, just the arrows. They would have to shape them and mold them and cut them and take care of them. And they didn't treat them as disposable. So Paul said, you know what? I know what it is like. In fact, there was a time when Paul was working and there were people that were coming that needed healing. And so they would just hand him a cloth. He would wipe the sweat off of his brow, give the handkerchief to them. They would take it. They would lay the handkerchief on them. And God would have mercy and would heal that person. And so some people have said, well, what we need is we just need some handkerchiefs. We'll mail out some handkerchiefs. You don't understand. Paul wasn't, it wasn't for a lack of concern for those people. He was having to provide for himself because he refused to be a liability on these new believers. So there is a price. You know, John Maxwell says many times you have to give up to go up. You have to start in a sacrificial position before you can grow into the place where that ministry can thrive. You know, praise God, Merit Assembly of God was in a position of thriving in 2019 and 2018 and 2017, and I saw something that flashed up on my Facebook wall before the end of the year and talked about how in 2016 we we were facing a deficit, and towards the end of the year, contributions started coming in, and it wasn't from one person or another person. They were just contributions that were coming, and the deficit began to whittle away and whittle away and whittle away. And on the very last afternoon, December the 31st, in the middle of the afternoon, I remember it, somebody walked up and they handed us a check, and that check was the final donation that that took care of the deficit. So, it wasn't much of a surplus that year, but we always like to show things moving in the right direction, not the wrong direction. So we're very thankful for that. But there's been a lot of hard work. You know, if you don't know me, you might think that I'm kind of a hands-off guy, and that's really the furthest thing from reality. One of the men from the church last year, we were laying some tile, and we had somebody that was doing that, and we had an unfortunate event that took place. One of our men passed away. It was unfortunate for us. It was fortunate for him, because now he's around the throne of grace and rejoicing with God. But we had just started laying the floor tile, and we were now going to need that room much sooner than what we had. And so I got down and I started laying tile, and worked really, really long, extensive hours during that time. And one of the men said, "What are you doing laying tile?" It's like, look, this quit being a renovation project when there was a memorial service getting ready to be here. It became ministry at that point in time. I wasn't down on my knees because, you know, I thought I could do it better. Lord knows that's not the case. But it was something that needed to be done. So I will tell you that you and I, that God has called us, and one of the manifestations of us realizing that coveting does not have a stronghold on our life is that we are not afraid to do the hard work. So to me, it's never mattered whether I was throwing newspapers, whether I was washing dishes at a restaurant, whether I was working retail and doing ministry supplementally, or whether I was working full time and was able to bless people, you know, through helping them install toilets or whatever needed to be done, if they couldn't afford it. I'm there to show that coveting material goods do not have a stronghold on my life. In fact, if anything, I'm looking for less material goods. I'm looking to continue to organize and pare down and stuff like that. Paul goes on and he said, not only did I work for my own benefit, but I also provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Now, if we have a ungodly, covetous mindset where we are coveting other people's gold, and we're coveting other people's silver, I want you to know that will impact the type of people that hang around you. But if you are the type of person that says, I am not only going to make sure that my needs are met, but I'm going to work to make sure that the people I'm ministering to are impacted in a positive way, and the people who I hang out with, that they are also benefited. So Paul had a group of people that traveled with him, and they benefited from his hard work. You and I, we need to realize that we need to make sure that our heart is free from the strings of coveting, because it's going to have a positive impact on those around us as well. So I've told this story a couple of times. If you heard it here on the radio program, you know, just bear with me. Somebody might be listening for the first time and they hadn't heard it. When I was in Bible college, there was a preacher that was coming, and he didn't know me. I didn't know him. And in fact, I've never met him. But I was struggling financially, and I'd prayed, God, you know, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you for enough to meet my needs. And that prayer sounded so noble. And this preacher got up there and he said, some of you who, and I can tell you where I was sitting in that auditorium that day, there was, you know, a few thousand people there. And he said, some of you have prayed, God, I'm really not asking you for much. I'm just asking for enough to meet my needs. And I was like, God's been listening to my prayer, and he's got a word for me here. I mean, it was word for word what I had prayed. And you know, I thought I was getting ready to get this great commendation, and all of a sudden the preacher spoke and said this, you selfish thing, God has not called you just to have your needs met. He's called you and empowered you and gifted you in order to be able to be a person who blesses other people. My dad said, you know, one of the things I've learned through my working career, and he's now retired, but that just means he works for himself for free. He's still working hard, and he's over 80. He said, one of the things that I found is that when I needed God to provide, he would provide for me opportunities to work. A lot of times we're looking for manna to fall from heaven or you know, pennies to fall from heaven. I want you to know God gifts us with a heart that's set on the right things when he gives us the privilege of working. Working is not a curse. Everybody wakes up on Monday morning and says, oh no, I got to get up and go to work. I challenge you, remember what it was like that first job you went and applied for. And they called you and they said, we want you to come and work for us. For me, it was $1.65 an hour. We want you to come and work. And I was so excited and thrilled that I had an opportunity to go when people wanted me to be someplace and do things I didn't want to do, also that I could get compensated for it. Today, God has given us the privilege of being productive in our society to meet our needs. So we're not coveting what belongs to someone else, and we can bless others as well. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow. Hope you have a great day. Till then, we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh
Radio
Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Like a